Revelations about government surveillance of Associated Press reporters' phone records has set off alarms with regard to possible violations of First Amendment rights. The covert surveillance was only discovered when a letter was sent by U.S. Attorney Ronald Matchin to the AP's general counsel on May 10th. The AP itself reported that the Justice Department had secretly obtained 2 months of telephone records of AP reporters and editors listing incoming and outgoing calls on work, home, and cell phones, including general AP office numbers in New York, Washington, Hartford, Connecticut, and the House of Representatives press gallery. In response to the surveillance, Gary Pruitt, AP's president and chief executive, wrote a letter to Attorney General Eric Holder that stated, "There can be no possible justification for such an overbroad collection of the telephone communications of the Associated Press and its reporters. These records potentially reveal communications with confidential sources across all of the news-gathering activities undertaken by the AP during a 2-month period, provide a roadmap to AP's news-gathering operations, and disclose information about AP's activities and operations that the government has no conceivable right to know." Your reporter spoke with Mark Jacox, policy analyst and legislative assistant with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, who expresses the concern of many civil liberties advocates about this instance of government surveillance of news organizations and the Obama administration's plan to overhaul the federal surveillance law, known as the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, or COLEA, to make it easier for law enforcement to tap Internet communications.
Right now, we don't know a lot of details. What we do know, though, is that they subpoenaed the call records that were going out. And so the DOJ is able to do this under the law with just a very low-level subpoena. It's really the enormous breadth of the situation. They looked at over 4 stations where over 100 reporters use those stations. So the amount of information and the really aggressive actions to pursue just all these calls coming in, or going out rather, from the terminals is quite stunning.
What should people be alarmed about in this? And the second part of that question would be, is there any oversight here? Is there any judicial or legislative oversight that can put this genie back in the bottle if it indeed is out surveilling reporters?
Well, the concern is certainly the low-level subpoena that they received. It's a very, really quick kind of judicial action that the DOJ is given a large amount of leeway to use and to pursue. And so the concern is really the number of subpoenas they probably received and the amount of information they got from simply knowing who was calling in and out of the offices. In regards to oversight, the DOJ does have a set of policies, and this case does show a clear violation of those policies. When a news organization is subpoenaed or when the DOJ wants access to calls like this or phone numbers, there's a set of guidelines that the DOJ is supposed to follow, and it is supposed to start out with pursuing every other alternative, and then it's supposed to next involve negotiations with the actual news agency. And it looks like the DOJ, again, we don't know much, but what it does look like is that the DOJ bypassed those 2 oversight mechanisms that are in their own policies to pursue the calls going out of the terminals and the press's offices. So that's really where the oversight is supposed to happen. The next steps right now are really gaining more information, right? We've seen a couple of congressmen and senators come out and call for oversight hearings, and just this Wednesday, actually, I believe there's a hearing on the oversight of the Department of Justice. So we will certainly see a flurry of questions from the congressman towards Attorney General Holder about the issue.
Mark, in a related issue, the Obama administration is reportedly pursuing a change in something called the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, COLEA, which was established in 1994. Apparently, the Obama administration wants to make it easier to surveil communications over the Internet. Can you describe what we know they're after at this point and your concerns at the Electronic Frontier Foundation?
So right now, the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act was, as you said, it was a law passed in 1994, and it was intended to allow for the FBI and the government to access, once given court authority and court approval to wiretap an individual, it forced the companies to create backdoors that would allow the government to obtain the communications that they were able to obtain under court authority. And right now, we've been seeing a very strong push from the FBI, because they're saying that they are unable to access the communications right now online. So they're very concerned with accessing private IMs, instant messaging, and conversations that way. Right now, that's what we know. We know that they want to expand COLEA to these communication service providers, but we don't really know in what way. The fight for CALEA has been a really long fight since 1994, solely because it was only originally intended to cover telecommunications companies, whereas now the government wants it to cover ever more increasing communication services. And the concerns with it, I mean, there are a whole bunch of concerns. What the main point of the bill is to create a backdoor for software communications and for other kind of communications and social media. And these backdoors have notoriously been used by hackers. They've notoriously led to a lot of wasted hours on parts of the company. And so the main concern is that the backdoors are unneeded, make us less safer, and also are a drain on innovation.
What do you think people should keep in mind in terms of government surveillance and their rights? There's always this debate now since 9/11 and even before 9/11 that there has to be some sane balance between security and liberty. Do you think we'll get there? I mean, it seems like the country is still reacting to the events of 9/11, and a lot of what's in our Constitution and Bill of Rights has been severely eroded.
Well, I think it's a constant struggle, but that's why the struggle exists. You can't ever go from one side all the way to the other. There's a constant balance. And especially with the expansion of CALEA, the past investigations and kind of surveillance methods, we've seen a lot of these cases cracked by traditional methods, key logging an individual or trying to just simply follow and get onto the individual's computer and things like that. And so traditional investigatory methods have worked in CALEA investigations, so the expansion is unnecessary. And then in regards to the latter question, it's certainly a tussle. It will be a tussle, I think, for a long time, but that's part of what makes the Constitution, especially the Fourth Amendment, a great result of this country. It's going to be a constant battle, but that's why advocates like EFF and ACLU exist, and that's why there's a constant kind of reorientation around what is acceptable in society and what is defined by privacy and the Fourth Amendment.
That was Mark Jacox, policy analyst and legislative assistant with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Learn more about groups working to challenge the erosion of civil liberties and privacy rights by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.